perfect weather.
Yeah.
Here in Mark's garage.
Yeah.
Apparently, all the counties around us are going to get, deluge of
It's supposed to be that rain. Bad, too. So, that's, I was waiting for you to either come out with the weather or dead celebrities. Because apparently that's what we like to talk about.
Or Mark's garage, which we also
And the garage. We do talk about the garage, too. There is that. Yeah, that's always a good topic
of
conversation.
If there was rain on a dead celebrity in Mark's garage, that would just that'd be like
Well,
the
you
only.
Know, we've started talking about every week also is what we talk about. So it's really
I guess you are right about
really
that.
It's really meta at this point.
That's true. Yeah.
No, that's some good times. I'm kind of feeling the weekend a little bit, so I'm dragging.
Yeah, I know Mark's dragging a little bit. Kevin's got a shitload of stuff to do, so this one might be a little truncated, but I feel fine.
Okay, we'll try and get this show in 14 minutes.
Yeah, that's a little
ambitious.
A little bit truncated.
All right.
Yeah.
We could speed it. We could just speed everything up, so it's like a Chipmunks sounding thing.
Yes, that's a great idea.
I figured. Yeah, it's always entertaining. Did you ever see that Patton Oswalt bit where he's talking about how amazing it is to slow it down, and it's just like it just sounds like evil demons coming from the depths of hell over. It's quite amusing. All right, on that note, let's get into the show. I'm Shane.
Ryan.
Kevin.
Mark.
Somebody likes it.
If it's not enough that South by Southwest is right by the time that everybody hears this, we'll either be in the middle of South by or it will have just ended. But if it's not enough that South by Southwest is back, the president is coming into town.
That's great.
Right. That.
Yeah,
on
he's
Friday.
Gonna be, he's gonna be speaking.
He didn't call me or anything.
Well,
that
and the
asshole.
The funny thing was is like
I voted for that guy twice.
So yeah, well clearly he owes you.
Totally.
So. So apparently they read a thing in the paper the other day, and they were talking about, I guess they interviewed Roland Swenson, the head of South by and East, and they said, well, what about traffic? Is there going to be a trip problem with traffic? And he's like, yeah, there is.
he's come in town before, and they'll just shut down whole sections of major thoroughfares and highways.
Yeah. Well, as though it's not hard enough
to have 20 fucking limousines.
Well, anyway, so that is happening, and apparently the backstory is that South by has had conversations with the White House for the past three or four or five years about hey, if you guys are ever around, we'd love to have you come experience this or give a keynote
or
whatever.
Sit on a couple of interactive panels or something.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure what that's going to happen is his hip-hop act is going to have, a pop-up show somewhere.
The Doritos stage.
That's what I was thinking, actually.
Yeah.
I love how when you, just a minute ago, I just want to briefly comment on something that you said, Kevin. You were like, by the time everybody hears this show, we'll either be in the middle of it or it'll be over. And I'm like, yeah, it just seems like it just grows every it's 4 months long in my mind at this point.
It feels like in a big sprawl, and the funny thing is they'll curtail some things or some things will go away, and it's you don't even notice because it's just such a massive blot all over the city.
The few years that I kind of went full,
I mean that in a,
on,
I actually
on South
it,
by and going to panels and the trade show and seeing a bunch of shows at night, I remember I always at the end of it have to lie on my bed with no sound anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't want any music. I don't want you to talk to me.
Yeah.
I just want to lie there in perfect silence.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you need one of those the sensory deprivation tanks.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Anyway, so South by Southwest is kind of what's blotting out the sun here and getting ready to take over the city, and that will start in a few days.
Yeah, I can't believe if there's we live in a city with over the last 5 years, it's just ridiculous the traffic we have to deal with, and then we'll ramp that up exponentially for South by Southwest, and then let's drop the president of the United States right in the middle of that.
Yeah, so they've been talking to the president or the White House for the past 3 or 4 years, and then basically South by said that their take on it was If they say jump, we're going to ask how high and be happy.
Of course. And the first lady's going to be here too, right? For a different
She's going to Nancy Reagan's funeral. So.
Oh, but she was.
She was.
There.
They're both going to keynote.
She is going to be here for
the EDU
the following Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's right.
So
that's
she'll
right.
be here. At
what are they doing?
Time.
Like a potluck? She's bringing a casserole.
Sounds about right.
Yes, yeah. It's exactly the first lady potluck. Exactly. Yeah.
Good.
Is you were so on top of it.
Well, yeah, she should get in touch with Laura Bush. She's not too far away, you know.
Yeah.
But tonight, Ryan,
we are talking about the first new pornographer's record, Mass Romantic, which the only hint I've got from you on what you feel like it seems a little negative.
Well. Not negative, but my thing on it, and this is how, when this album came out.
What came out, 2000, 2001?
2001, I think.
Yeah.
When it came out, it was the soundtrack at a lot of bars I like to go to, and I think that's, for me personally, that's kind of the way that I best want to listen to it.
I didn't know anything from it.
It just faded into background. It just fades into background music for me. Like, all the songs kind of run together. Like,
well, okay, I'll give you that for all but the first song. Which
the first song is great.
It's amazing. It's kind of got that the Susie and the Banshees thing where, like, the first song is so amazing. Like, it's Beatles good. It's not A Day in the Life Beatles good, but it's Taxman good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I think it's that good, but it is a good song.
There's a T-shirt.
It's not A Day in the Life.
But it's Taxman good.
Yeah.
Well, but
no, but it's super catchy. And then the rest of it is like Big Star good. It's still good.
There's not a lot of variation. Like, this is power pop.
Power pop.
I have the same reaction to power pop almost always, in that it's like, it's very clever on paper, and then the heads of the people performing it all seem really competent musicians. All the melodies like seem like they would be great melodies, but it just does absolutely nothing for me ultimately. But I want to say this though, that song, that first song, and the
Mass
other
Romantic,
song,
yeah
and then the other song, well, Letter from an Occupant,
I love that song, and those are both Nico Case.
Those are the two Nico Case songs that she's so, and Nico Case, like, her music is, it's very
well. It's interesting to hear in this context, because, like, I've known her sort of like haunting alt country, you know, ethereal thing for a while, and that's not what any of this is.
No, but she's got a lot of emotion in her music, and the one thing about this, say it good or bad, there's just not a lot of emotionality in this music, in this record.
I can give you that, Kevin. So, well, Mark, first I wanted to ask you. In light of what we're covering today, is the production value of today's show going to be pretty tight, like pretty clean? I'm looking for a tightly produced show.
Yeah, definitely tight and clean.
Yeah, and I want us to do like a, I want this to be power commentary.
I like tight, not
power
clean.
Commentary.
Are you talking about what our show today is in relation to this album?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
tight,
gonna be
tight, clean.
It's gonna be a power.
At some point, we will harmonize.
Yes. Exactly. You start saying the same shit at the same time. Yeah. That's good. I like it.
I'm going to throw some distortion on just a couple of spots here and there. Just
That's good.
Yeah, but not enough distortion.
But tasteful distortion.
Yeah, not, yeah,
of course.
Right. Not too
of
much distortion.
And, frankly, tasteful Canadian distortion. So, if you can just...
Even more polite.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry. It just says sorry.
Several times.
Thanks.
I'm going to distort every single time you say sorry.
Right. This is our podcast version of like number nine.
Sorry.
Anyway, for the two of you who are still listening,
what do you think of the record?
So here's the thing. Like, so I, again, this is another one of those bands that I came to. I own. Is it the electric version? Like, I own the blue one. The way that I feel about this album is kind of the way that I feel about that one, which is not unlike a little bit of what Shane was saying. I like it. It's proficient. Like,
it's
when I listen to it, like, I enjoy it. But I go through jags where I'll listen to it quite a bit, and then I just put it down and I don't think about it for, I don't know, like a couple of years at a time.
Well, and that first song I probably listened to 15 or 20
That's
times
a great song.
In the last
you got
week.
That.
Like, yeah, I could have just put it on repeat, you know, and the rest of it, I'm like, you know, most bands that kind of have something approaching this sound would probably be thrilled to have any one of these as their lead single on their record. But it's all singles.
That's why it's hard to criticize this album, because while it deserves some criticism, at the end of the day, like, you go back and you're like, well, I mean, it is.
Take any one song.
It is
on its
technically
own.
good album. It's just
it all blends together. Here's what it is. Here's as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't have like sort of that emotional narrative arc that great records do. You know,
right.
that brings you through it like an experience. It's like, oh, good song, good song, good song, good song. But you're not going on a journey with them. You're just like, these guys got some pretty good songs.
And the tempos are all really similar. yeah, they got a couple good ones in there.
They're all pretty good.
I think, yeah, Mass Romantic and Letter from the two Nico Case where she's prominently singing on those two. She, I don't know if it's just because I like her so much. I like AC Newman.
Did you go swimming with her once?
I was supposed to go swimming with her.
Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah. Well, you're the one that brought it up.
Yeah. I brought it up. I thought you actually had gone swimming.
No, we were supposed to meet her at her house, and she was calling our hotel room for us to go, and we were like, we're just too hungover to go at Tucson, Arizona in August to get up and deal with this day.
I still would have gone. Like, I don't know. I find her.
It was a long time.
I find her alluring.
Sure, I do too. Big fan.
All right,
you want to hear one of these songs?
Yeah, let's get into the first track, Mass Romantic.
Thanks for bringing up that amazing story, by the way. Like, if this is how the rest of this fucking
all
show
of our
is
listeners
go,
are now sitting putting pen to paper, writing their mother.
All right, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, Mass Romantic, the lead single, lead song from this album.
Mass Romantic, the title song, the titular song, if you will, of the record, that was not a single. Which
it wasn't?
It was, no. There was only one single from the record.
Was it Letter from an Occupant?
It was Letter from an Occupant.
Which is a great fucking song.
Which is ironic because, as you were saying, they all sound like they could be singles. Like,
well, they do. It's a record full of singles, and they had one. Now, granted, they were on a really small label at the time, Mint.
They're like, we can only afford one single.
I guess. I mean, it literally does cost money to push something to radio.
Well, sure. I mean, but like I said, you know, like I remember hearing the shit out of this record at the time, and like, you know, in bars and stuff like that, and I just assumed that the songs I was hearing were the singles. You know, like, could they sound like it?
Yeah. Well, Kevin, you wanted to...
Yeah, little nugget from the AV Club review of this record I thought was kind of interesting. Just sort of talking about the overall sound. It said, critically speaking, power pop has an easy ride. It's commercially out of fashion. It harkens back to rock's great past greatness. And done right, it provides nothing but pleasure. But here's the difference between doing it right. But there is a difference between doing it right and doing it to the point of sublimity, and the new pornographers make that difference clear. He doesn't really. Anyway, basically, he says more than the sum of its influences, even if it occasionally feels like a stack of Cars, Cheap Trick, and early XTC albums melted together, Mass Romantic throttles from strength to strength. So, anyway, I guess maybe that's the sort of long-winded way of saying, hey, if you really like power pop. There's a lot of that going on.
Well, yeah, and I would also kind of throw in, like, Fountains of Wayne. Like a band that has,
but
like,
this was
pretty amazing hit filled by a bunch of pretty good songs.
I'm going to go off script and say, like, the one thing I like about the... I know. One thing I like about the Fountains...
Ad-libbing, no.
Yes. Yeah. I like the Fountains...
Free range, Shane.
Yes. I like the Fountains of Wayne records, or a couple of them at least, their first couple records, because there was an emotional narrative. There were songs on those records that were slow and sad and that gave some sort of, like, reference point, you know? And
well, dude, I owned that record that Radiation Vibe was on.
Yeah, I did too. I love that album.
And that's an amazing song followed by a bunch of pretty good songs. I don't remember if it was... I think it is first.
Are they Taxman good?
No. Radiation Vibe is Taxman.
I mean,
yeah,
the rest of
it's, you know,
I get big star
B-side good.
I thought that album is better than this record was. But that's just because, again...
I'll disagree with you on that.
Okay, that's fine. You can kind of see where I'm coming from. I do see where you're coming from. I just I want to make a point. I wouldn't have thought of it before, in that with that Fountains of Wayne stuff, there are slower, more intimate songs that I think add contrast, whereas this, there's not a lot of contrast.
There's not a lot of emotional nuance.
And it starts to bleed together, and so it just becomes background music after a while for me. But again, I am not the target. Oh, I want to say this. When I was listening to this album, I was like, this fucking album is critic proof, dude. I mean, like, it's
true.
It's everything that person that wrote that review said about this record is totally true. And power pop is just not my, I'm not the target audience for it.
You know who I bet would love this record? Our friend
power
Darren.
Pop band.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure
he
has
fan.
It and loves it. Yeah.
You know what I was thinking, you know, like when I say this, I want to, before I forget about it, power pop to me, it's got all of the elements that somebody that knows my taste in music would be like, oh, you got to love this.
I was actually shocked that you weren't coming in just like gushing all over yourself.
Yeah, I always feel that way about, wait, in a nasty way?
No, okay. I'm just, you know, like, you know, overwhelmed with praise.
Yes, no. And that's what I'm saying. It's like all of the elements of shit that I would like is in power pop, but I'm always left a little cold. It's got a coldness to it, like a braininess to it, I think. It's hard for me to put
like
my finger
on. Overthinking the formula? I mean,
Yeah.
They spent 3 years on this record.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, too. You know, a lot of this was hatched on the mean streets of Vancouver. So we're talking about, like, you know, there's a lot here that really reminds me a lot of the circumstances around Exile and Main Street on Main Street.
Oh, big
and,
time.
But
still, like, okay, so if you took any one of these songs, which, granted, you know, the title track is just ridiculous.
I think we all understand the fact that you really like that song.
I think if you dropped them in the middle of like a Spotify playlist along with other really good songs, it would fit perfectly.
Well, that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier. Like, it sounds like it's an album built for playlists or to be background music in a bar. Like, it seamlessly folds itself in like these individual songs stand out. What's the thing? We've talked about this before. Like, Marcus Rice says, you know, like if you swing for the fences every single song, you know,
it somehow diminishes.
Diminishes
the
overall,
yeah.
And this is kind of, I kind of feel that way about this record. Though, having said that, again, it's hard to diss it.
No, and I think you're dissing it a little bit more than I am, but I get your point. But I wonder if that's the function of this sort of being a supergroup. I mean, like, it's the lowest level of supergroup because, like, I don't think anybody had heard of most of these people, or at least outside of Vancouver before.
Well, and they're it's a cohesive product. I mean, I feel like one thing that goes into the idea of a supergroup, you know, air quotes situation, is most times they're not that super. Like,
well, I think
Asia, I think, was a supergroup.
I just heard an Asia song on the radio today. This is amazing. Like, this is
such coincidence, dude. It feels spooky.
It feels,
yeah.
You
know, there are no
there's no such things as coincidences.
Yes.
Yeah.
As our good friend would say.
Yeah, we won't bring that up.
Yeah. So, but you know, I think you're right, and I actually had the same thought, Ryan, earlier about a lot of times in supergroups why they don't really. You sort of start. Number one, you don't have enough time to really work and get the work done to
well,
really.
I mean, they spend a lot of time on the record, and you can definitely tell in the production.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the writing.
A lot of cooks in the kitchen too. Right, you know, and they're sort of accommodating everybody's sensibility without one dominating more than the other. Like, I mean, I can hear Nico Case, I can hear AC Newman or Carl Newman as he's known
in this band.
I don't know Dan Behar's stuff, but. All that well, but
it's pretty good. It's totally different than this.
But they're a
lot
all,
of saxophone.
They're all
though.
Like, you know, the quarterbacks of their own projects.
Well, you know, when I got here, you were listening to an AC
Miracle
Newman
Drug.
Record, yeah. Which is that record is great. I mean, it's uneven, but the high points are way higher than
that single Miracle Drug.
Miracle Drug's
like,
awesome.
How is that not like a top 10 hit?
It's like, a great song, yeah. but I'm just saying, like, while that album is more uneven than this one, Mass Romantic. I would much rather listen to it because the high points are a lot higher, in my opinion.
Well,
for the most part,
he's able to indulge himself. I don't know. Like, it's
well, no, because you don't you.
But
all,
I do, is he like kind of the driving force in this?
I feel
band?
Like yeah, he's like the main. I mean, again, I don't know as much about their history as I normally would come in here prepared, but I hear his voice a lot more than anybody else's. You want to play another one of these songs?
Let's get into the actual single. Letter from an Occupant, which I think is a terrific song as well. It's not the grand slam in the Game 7 of the World Series.
I think, are you gonna be able to, like, go for, I'm going to start timing how many minutes it's going to be between each mention of how much you love the titular song on this
album.
Oh,
have I brought that up?
Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah, right. So, what, 30 seconds that time? All right, yeah, Letter from an Occupant. Let's listen to that.
From an Occupant, I'm gonna guess, like, that's a great song, and I know that Shane likes it, but I'm gonna guess that the part that you don't like is the woo woo woo. Is that it?
No, I like the whole song.
What about this?
But yeah, that would be the
if there was a part that,
a
you,
part
you,
that I didn't like,
that you're like, eh,
that would be the part.
That would be the one.
Yeah, but yeah, I like that whole song.
What about the saxophone remix?
There are some saxophones on this album, if you guys remember.
I don't know if I've noticed that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there's a couple.
But it's not like a David Sanborn, like,
Kenny G thing
on, no, like, it, dark shades on, it, like...
Right, standing in a subway tunnel trying to make some money.
Yeah,
like,
with some steam coming out of some vents.
Blues Brothers glasses.
Too many shadows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not that egregious, but enough to where... Yeah, I definitely noticed it.
Hey, Shane, did you break down any of the lyrics in this? Like, the stuff that I was able to suss out, and I haven't, like, gone to any sites to read anything.
Yeah, I kind of didn't do anywhere near the due diligence. I've been so busy that I normally would do with this album. So, they might be amazing.
The guy who wrote about this record for Pitchfork spins this whole yarn about how he really got it. Like, he got too much into Britpop. Like, really went down the deep end with Britpop, and then, like, I guess, like, went off to college, and then woke up one day and he was like, I clearly don't care about the London Suede, or, like, what some of these, like, some of the bands that were not necessarily leading the Britpop movement, chunked all of that stuff.
Supergrass,
maybe.
Those are both great bands.
Well,
I
not the point.
Think of great songs.
Not
from both
the point.
Those bands, but yeah.
So anyway, so chunks all that stuff. And then he happened upon this record, and he was like, these guys are from Canada, but essentially, a lot of this plays like a Britpop record.
Like British Protectorate pop?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. So
just rolls off the tongue.
I think of Britpop as distinct from power pop.
It is very distinct.
I tend to think so, too, but I thought that was an interesting way
quite
to
a bit more British
angle at it. Yeah, sure.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
Just I love how this
geography.
You just come in with when we
just
need you.
Right when we need you.
Right when we need you.
There's a lot of superfluous use.
Yeah, he's a surgeon, really, when you think about it.
They actually spell Britpop, Britpop.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so... Anyway, yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting way to look at it. I don't know. What was there anything that surprised you, Ryan? I mean, like, you seem kind of taken.
I was
with
surprised
this.
That okay, I can't bring it up. Never mind. I was going to say that I was surprised, like, how the fuck have I never heard that first song?
Yeah. When we were playing the song over the break, then
wait, which one are you talking about?
Oh, that'd be
Shane
romantic,
was giving
the title song, the titular track.
Shane was giving Ryan a hard time about how much he has gone on about that song.
No,
he's not wrong.
I'm totally in love with it. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you marry it?
Oh, nailed it, dude. Stuck the landing.
Yes, yeah. We're five. Okay, so we just played our second one.
Like, yeah, let's get into the intermission. Is that you today?
Or got a few minutes with this week.
Yeah, that's me. Usually we kind of go into the Wayback Machine and try and dial something up that you haven't provides a little bit of a counterbalance to what it is that we're doing as the main topic. But in honor of there being South By stuff going on, one of the bands that got listed in the NPR 100, like 100 bands to see during South By Southwest, is an act from Austin that I actually hadn't heard of before that I have kind of enjoyed getting to know a little bit over the past few days, called Alex Napping. And so there's a track
never
that
never heard of them.
They are we'll get more into it, but there's a track called Trembles Part One. So you can tell if you get a chance to check out that video, there's a clear narrative. It's very serious, and the production value is exquisite.
High.
Exquisite, yeah.
It actually is pretty good production value.
Yeah, I'm kidding, but yeah, it's.
I suspect that friends of the band, may
participated.
Have had some AV club or RTF experience or something. Yeah.
Well, my whole take on the video, just the video itself, was it's the latest in what seemed to be an endless recent line of great songs with videos that the band think are funny, but aren't really.
Yeah, it's not that funny. It does apparently it's supposed to or at least the Alex, who I guess is that dude in the name.
Daniel. His name was Daniel.
Daniel, but he's talking about Alex or something. Anyway, supposed to be set in the 80s, but it's a little anachronistic in that he's still got the
rotary
dial phone.
Yeah, are you really breaking down the...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just set in the 80s. It was also set in some silent movie.
Well, that too.
The continuity was all messed up with that video.
The continuity. Yeah.
Yes. The continuity.
There was one, I thought, one joke that was funny, where... The big black Looney Tunes style bomb with a rope fuse out of it lands in her arms, and she clearly mouths the word fuck, but then it goes to the title cards and in old timey script and goes gosh darn it.
Yeah, you chuckled.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's a cute in all seriousness, it's a cute silly video, and the track's cool, and
it's
it's a really good song.
Yeah, basically it's the front end of two tracks that they wrote that they're putting out as an EP that are based on, I guess, like a story that she wrote or something, they're supposed to be, two halves of the same thing. And I actually, of the two songs, I actually like the other one better. But I dig this track too, and this one's got that crazy, the Madcap, the Looney Tunes video.
Madcap Looney Tunes. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. I will definitely go back and listen to it. That was one of those songs that I liked it from the start, but every so often you'll hear a song and by the end of it you just because it's really repetitive and all of it. There's a really repetitive guitar line, and by the time it sinks in and does an earworm, by the end I liked the song, and then by the end of it I was I fucking love this. This is. But I mean, again, this is the kind of shows we were going to see when we were 20.
Yeah, the sprite-like Enigma singer, and there's like a touch of Bjork in there too, like just in the timbre.
Yeah, her voice was great.
No, she's fantastic.
And there was like a early 90s indie rock kind of thing going on with the guitars and stuff like that.
And there were chicks kissing.
Yeah, some of that. Anyway, they'll be playing out a lot during South By, and
I've never heard, they said they're an Austin band, right?
They are an Austin band.
I've never heard of them.
I haven't either.
I hadn't either until just recently, and like I say, they kind of got my attention enough that I was like, okay, I had to dig on these guys a little bit and see what's there. But yeah, that is that's Trembles Part 1
from Alex Knapping.
Well, that was good stuff. You guys want to go back to New Pornographers?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. That would have been some good audio had we had our...
That's some cutting room floor shit right
there. Yeah, we just spent the last 4 or 5 minutes talking about candy.
Well, and here's the thing. You got to remember, too, sometimes we just riff. Like, things start to happen, and concepts are flying around.
Oh, yeah. It's
exciting.
It's like classic jazz age.
This
is a room you would have wanted to be in. Like, you would have told your children, you know, hey, I was...
Whoa. No way.
The magic was happening in the air.
Were you there when those guys were talking about the difference between Reese's peanut butter cups and
Butterfinger
peanut butter cups? Yeah. That was some deep shit.
And they're like, no, I'm leaving.
It was pretty intense.
Anyway, I guess the new Pornographers was a Jimmy Swaggart line?
Well, okay, so there's some discrepancy about whether they got the name from that. Or from like a Japanese movie or something, I think Mr. Newman.
What a weird thing to have a discrepancy about. That's a very specific name.
Well, okay, so Swaggart had said that rock and roll was the new pornography.
Okay,
and so hence a lot of people would think that they were, you know, riffing on that, like, oh, we're the new Pornographers. But apparently, he was watching some Japanese movie.
So it's still a Swaggart thing. That Swaggart was watching a Japanese movie thing?
No. I don't think Jimmy Swaggart ever watched
Carl Newman was watching
Japanese porn.
This story just got
probably
good.
True.
That seems to fit the mold a little bit more.
I have sinned against you.
I just watched something about that the other day.
The kabuki. Yes. Anyway,
that was a big part of Southern evangelical culture in the 80s.
Kabuki theater, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. So it wasn't. We don't know if it was a Swaggart thing. We think it was the Japanese thing.
Well, that's what he says. The gentleman who actually named the band Carl Newman.
Yeah.
He didn't name it Carl Newman. He was named that.
It would be amazing if he had named the band Carl Newman, and this whole time we've been what? Oh, we got it all wrong.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I do want to listen to one more song off of this, which I haven't actually seen the band that I think this sounds the most like referenced much, but I do think this kind of has a bit of a Kinks thing going on, and that's the Mary Martin Show.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to play this. This might be my least favorite song on this album.
Oh.
But I really liked it, but I see
the
Kinks
reference.
It's definitely
not my favorite. You know what it is?
pretty sure I have an idea what song you like.
Shade's having a cardiac
the most
event.
On this record. All right, yeah, let's do that. Let's listen to the Mary Martin Show.
Mary Martin, they'll come any closer.
sure enough, the song that prominently features saxophone is the one that Shane likes the least.
Well, you know, so listening...
Is it actually not even that prominent?
It wasn't... That song actually wasn't the one I liked least. I remembered it was Jackie, but... So the song happens early in the record. But I think that this song is toward the end of the record. Hearing it right now by itself is sort of what we've been talking about all night. Like, it sounds fun.
It's an a la carte album.
Yeah, but like once you put too many of the songs like back to back to back to back to back, like it just, I guess I just get new pornographers fatigue. Because that sounded,
I feel you.
Sounded
I mean,
all right
I,
by
obviously
itself.
Obviously, that's how I am with Beastie Boys. Like
Beastie Boys is a great example of getting.
You should just try switching hands.
Oh, great. That's a brilliant idea. I will.
Oh, yeah.
Can you guys write that down for me?
What was that 14
just text
year old,
me that.
That 14-year-old's joke. Yeah, fucked Jared Virgin last night. My left hand. Yeah. Anyway, we should move on from that discussion.
God. Anyway, yeah. Ultimately, I mean, I think it tends to
sometimes
be
sometimes
like,
I don't know what's coming out of my face.
So yeah.
It tends I think we've
like,
noticed that.
Like a lot of us are kind of on the same page, which is to say that like it's there's a lot that's clearly well done on this record, but
that,
it doesn't,
that song
doesn't
is
necessarily
way better than average.
Yeah.
But when you put it next to a bunch of songs that are way better than average, but of similar
but,
ilk,
but all very similar songs in a lot of ways, like same tempo, same. They just sort of, like I said, like new pornographers fatigue.
Well, here's where I kind of net out on that. And by the way, I just noticed, like I listen to these things in the car. I just noticed the last song was Breaking the Law, which I'm pretty sure is not a Judas Priest cover.
It's not a Judas Priest cover.
Yeah. But I would pay to listen to that if they did that. Anyhow, but
Judas Priest version of it?
No, like them covering
no,
Judas Priest.
No, 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 if they covered, I'm sorry, that's what I meant. If they covered a Judas Priest song, like.
Yeah. I would be all about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, me too.
But here's where I kind of net
or
out.
Judas Priest covered a new pornographer song. That would be pretty great,
that
too.
Would also be good. Like, I mean, at least for novelty. But here's where I kind of net out is like, you know, this is not going to land in my top 20 favorite records of all time, but I bet it's in the top 100. Like, it's a
of all time?
Yeah, it's a solid record. Like, I'm glad it's in my life. There's one song, I can't remember which one it is, that I really like, but...
Oh, yeah, I think I might have a clue.
All right, but, you know, but like the, you know, it's it has enhanced my life.
It's a decent album.
Do you feel like there's, like I feel like sometimes with acclaimed first albums, part of the reason that they're acclaimed is, like, they're a rough-cut version of what these bands end up doing really well later on down the line.
Well, I don't know. I don't know any other new pornographers.
Well,
records.
that's the thing.
But I do know some solo stuff from some of these people, I love their shit.
I want to point out something, and I've wanted to point this out all show, but I keep forgetting, and then you just actually proved my point, that for all of their flaws and virtues, this is a very difficult band name to say. Like, say it really fast, like three times with new pornographers. It's not
new pornographers.
It's not. You just said new pornographers a second ago.
Yeah,
like,
I just called them the new porns in my note.
Like, yeah, it's like, a hard. Like, it is a difficult band name. It does not roll off the tongue mellifluously.
No.
New pornographers.
Well, and like you and I both, and frankly, all of us have music geek friends, and they're not necessarily like a big topic of conversation a whole lot. I've heard more people talk about, you know, Nico Case worship than I have this band. Didn't we go see her? Like,
you and I have seen Nico together. Yeah. I've seen.
Didn't you go
I've
swimming with her?
No, I was supposed to go swimming with her.
This is a great story, y'all. Buckle in.
This is Shane's non-story.
I actually have seen the new pornographers live, and they were. It was good. I mean, it's good. It just all blends together after a little while. So, I mean, like. But I mean, that's what we're just going to talk about for the rest of this time. It's a good listen.
Well,
I'm glad.
I am going to seek out other records for them just because, like, I thought this was like pretty real good.
Sure. If you like this record, you'll probably like most of their output because you've heard it already. But you know, well, that's not.
But if you want to like, you know, contrast to say like where I think that like an absolutely flawless record, first record by a band like The Strokes, like. No, this doesn't reach that level.
I don't think that's the criteria that we should be applying to anybody's record. Like to say that.
No.
And that Strokes album
is a flawless
first
record. If like a buddy
record.
Of yours recorded this record, you'd be so excited for it.
I probably, yes. Yes, of course. Of course, I would.
What about somebody that you didn't like?
But that was also conflicting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably. A little bit. Yeah, I was just thinking, like, I'm probably try to go fucking steal their masters and
there you go.
Yeah, destroy them. Like that one person that you and I both don't like that also did some catering that you worked for, created a record, and it was really good.
I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay. Yeah. All right, all right, all right. So that was Mass Romantic by the New Pornographers. And you guys mind if we move on
sure.
to Current Affair?
Let's
do you
do
have,
it.
Or do you want to talk about a certain
to quote Kevin,
a certain hidden
let's
track?
Do, it.
do you want to talk a little more about the boner that the song Mass Romantic gives you?
I think the message is out there.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay, so this week we're going to listen to Love Me by the 1975, and we'll be right back with that. Song in the same category as Mass Romantic?
I would not do that.
As far as
in that, I don't
want
to punch any of the members of new Pornographers in the face.
Right. Oh, right. The first time I heard that song,
I don't actually think it's a terrible song. I just don't.
You
like that
are
dude.
In fucking sane, dude. The first time I heard that song, I was getting gas a few months ago. This song's been in my queue for a few months. I keep pushing it back because I don't know if I want to listen to it ever again. And I'm getting gas, and the song is on, and I thought it was so bad that it was like a lost track from like, basically it sounds like somebody like found the missing link between like Fine Young Cannibals and Love in an Elevator era Aerosmith.
There's definitely that element, but no, like Fame from David Bowie.
Well, that's just the sound of the guitar. It also sounds like they living in the wild, wild west, like that song from like same year. It's like somebody wanted to go and, oh, again, and also this video fits right in with the videos that are coming out recently, except this one's on a major label budget, that people think are hilariously funny, and that's just not funny.
Well, no, it's kind of abstract. Like, you know, like basically it just seems like, well, there's a floating guitar for part of it. Homeboy can't find his shirt.
Ditzy girls.
Like, yeah.
And
yeah.
They're sitting all in a hot tub at some point.
Well, and for some reason, there's a prominently displayed selfie stick. Meanwhile, they have like six cameras around, recording everything.
Because I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to do a send up of like celebrity culture, like maybe from the 80s and this at the same, like conflating the two or something. I don't know. I just know that the worst era of production values in my lifetime, or between the years of 1986 and 1990, like, and we're talking about like Paula Abdul straight up, that kind of like production values, and it's like they took every single trick they could take from those years, whether or not to be funny or whether or not, I don't know, but it's horrible.
Well, I'll put it this way. So this band was on Saturday Night Live, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and I record those like every time they come on. And so it's like my deal with the musical act is I'll give them about 30 seconds. And they need to like win me over for me to actually watch the whole fucking thing because
short amount of time.
It's Ryan's version of The Voice,
I guess. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. But I did watch the whole thing, but I don't remember coming away like super impressed. I was just like, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what I was like, and that's the thing. Like, so I heard this song, and I was like, oh my God, this is the worst. I literally thought it was from like 1988. So I go home.
Dude, it's nowhere near as bad as like, say, What's Up from Four Non Blondes or like.
No, if nothing
or
is, though.
We Built This City from Starship. Like there are plenty of shittier songs.
I think that it's just a completely awful song. I'm not comparing it to any other song. This is a horrible song. And I didn't know what it was. And I went home and I found out that the song had just come out. And I was like, they had to have played it as a joke, and then I just continued. It was on the playlist.
Well, and that guy's like he's like the bastard child of Michael Hutchence, from NXS, like just kind of bopping around the stage, but with less charisma.
Yeah,
he also has a problem swallowing.
Because he's always spitting water out and stuff.
You know. Yeah, champagne or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, whatever he's doing. Yeah, like I said, man, and there's he's definitely spent his time at the altar of listening to, like. Aerosmith records from the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, back when they sucked.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone.
Kevin.
Well, thank you, Shane.
You're welcome.
You're the master of, like, bringing the pain on yourself. You're like, hey, here's a record that sucks. Let's listen to it.
Yeah, well, I feel like, you know, it's something to talk about. Let's give them something to talk about. Ooh. Hey, Kevin, what?
I would rather listen to this song that we just listened to than that song.
Oh man, that's a devil's deal right there. They're both bad.
And she won like
but I
multiple
but I like
and
her,
shit.
But
I like her as a person.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to her music.
No, I don't want to listen to it either.
Yeah. But one of my favorite quotes from anybody ever was they were like asking her how her like year went after she won all the Grammys and stuff, and she was like, "I got laid a lot."
Dude, she's great. I've met her a couple of times, and she's
did you go swimming with her?
She seems super sweet.
No, I did not go swimming with her. But you want to hear the story about this one time I was in Tucson and I was supposed to go swimming with Nico Case.
And then you didn't.
And I didn't. I'm not the one that brought that shit up.
Speaking of Nico Case, I think one of Ryan's favorite songs is...
she sings on it.
New Pornographers, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a new pornographer. Yeah, you are right
about
that.
Which track are you talking about?
I think it's the titular track from...
Mass Romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we should have talked about that.
Fantastic show, guys.
Well, we can just go back and record the whole thing over again. Let's talk about that.
Sounds great. Kevin, do you know what you have next week?
So officially, no. What I can say is, like, I'm tempted to go in the way back machine and maybe dial up some Fats Waller, but
Shane loves Fats
Waller. I love Fats Waller
fan.
Too. Like,
I don't know
and
all
the
that
story,
much.
The story is really great, but
from
the problem
being around
is,
Shane, but that's not necessarily the spirit of the show.
Yeah,
because two out of the three of us are already
well. Well, I don't know tons of his albums,
and they're those. Yeah, and
I'm
those.
Just a fan of his
they're
music.
80 years old. Like the fact that the challenge is that the album structure and the way that things were recorded back then, in terms of who got credit for what, is totally different.
I just want to read the spin review.
Huh?
I just want to read the spin review.
We want to read the Pitchfork revisionist review. Pitchfork,
exactly. Yeah. Right. So we might do that, but it's also entirely possible that, given a couple of days, let me percolate on this for a couple of days. And, with the South by stuff coming up, there may be something that's just frankly more interesting and a little bit current, but at some point I would like to explore some seminal jazz. Cause we haven't done that.
I my next record's going to be jazz. So I don't know if that.
Okay.
Influences your
that influences.
Decision.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, yeah. So I'll officially, beg off of naming an exact one for right now, but we'll get that figured
it's
out.
It's a
next
mystery.
It is. It is a yeah.
It's a crab shoot.
Yeah, grab bag. It's the grab bag show.
All right. Well, kids, this has been fun.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you to me for suggesting this.
Thank you to me for playing you guys the 1975's Love Me.
Oh, dude, I'm forever in your debt.
Yeah.
Letting you watch that. All right, I'm Shane.
Ryan.
Kevin.
Mark.
And somebody likes it.